This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, it's Thursday morning, and guess what? The wind has finally calmed down a bit for you this morning. It was still whipping when I got home last night and came out this morning. The lids to both of my garbage cans were flipped open. There were some pieces of trash out on the street that I had to go out and pick up at 4 o'clock this morning. You may find yourself in the same situation. The good news is it has calmed down. Today,
I think some people may have lost power yesterday. It looks like there were some people maybe in West St. Louis County who had maybe lost power. I mean, we were talking about, what was it, 50 mile per hour winds
some gusts.
That's pretty significant. 50,
it would cut right through you. I know I did the husbandly thing yesterday. Had to drive my wife's car. And I saw that she was getting low on gas.
That's nice.
So I filled the car up, topped it off so she didn't have to get out in those winds and get gas.
That is the best feeling. If my husband, for years, you know, when I lived alone, I would, you know, do my oil changes and do all of those things, the tire rotation. But I don't like having to do that stuff. So when my husband just takes care of it, it's the best treat.
Isn't that nice?
And you know what else is a treat? I saw this and I had to laugh. I really love when he puts our son in the car seat if we're out together. That's like the new version of him opening the car door for me.
No kidding.
Like if it's cold or windy or just not that great weather outside, I love that when I just get to sit in the warm car and he puts Easton in the car seat.
That is the love language that you're looking for.
It's the new opening of the door.
I'm telling you. I'm glad to hear that. That's good. Well, I hope everybody's having a good day. It had a good Ash Wednesday, and we are opening basketball tournament season today here, aren't we, Carl Middleman?
I'll be there as soon as the show's over.
The Miami Valley Conference tournament kicks off downtown at the Enterprise Center. Oh, Missouri Valley. What did I call it?
Miami Valley.
Oh, sorry.
That's not a thing.
It is a thing.
It is?
I grew up in Ohio.
In the Miami Valley.
There used to be the Miami Valley. Yeah, sorry.
How crazy is your schedule over these next few days?
I will be there. There are four games today in two different sessions, and then there are four games tomorrow, and then they will be three games. I don't know.
Like 12-hour days, basically.
Yeah, I will not be coming home until 11. I'm not here tomorrow because of that.
Yes, I remember.
Because last year, I said, I can do it. And by Friday at 5 o'clock, I was not alive anymore.
You were not functioning.
No.
No. And you need to be on the ball for that. It's a good thing. I might go down there to a game, one of the games tomorrow.
Bradley is the number two seed. That's in the afternoon.
Okay.
But the number one seed, Drake, is tomorrow, I think, at noon.
Go Drake. Yeah. Right out of Des Moines, where
All
I
right.
used to live. This might be a silly
question.
Oh, are they really?
Mm-hmm.
I have someone who works for the sports, for Drake, for the athletic department or something, or does whatever. So anyway, I saw he was in town. But this might be a silly question, but can you just show up? I assume you have to buy tickets ahead of time.
You have to buy tickets, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can't buy them at the door? There's no way it's going to be a sellout.
It's not like a free thing. You do have to buy tickets.
You have to show up at the door and buy a ticket, but I don't think you would have to necessarily buy it in advance.
No.
The Enterprise Center is huge, and until you get closer to the final game, I can't imagine it will come anywhere close to capacity. So, yeah.
Can I ask, that's Mark, good. What you said you're going to the Mizzou Kentucky game?
I am.
On Saturday.
Know,
what was behind that decision?
Unfortunately for Mizzou fans, Mizzou lost last night.
Yes.
That's their second loss in a row, which I think is a bad omen for Saturday because they're just going to be pissed off playing at home, their last game of the season, which doesn't bode well for my my traveling Kentucky Wildcats. But here's it. This is at the bottom line. I probably paid $70 a piece for those tickets, I'm guessing, not including fees, when I bought them back in November. I got three of them. I could probably sell them and make $300 a ticket, roughly, over what I paid for them, just looking at StubHub. But at the end of the day, life is a series of experiences. You don't remember, honestly, I wouldn't remember the money I saved by not going. What I will remember is getting to go down there and spend the day in a great college basketball environment with my son and my friend Ken. And I love those experiences. So I don't care that I could make money on the tickets. We've decided we're going to Columbia. So
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Yeah. Although sometimes I do enjoy the experience of making money.
I agree with that extent.
The fact that you're going with your son, you can't beat that.
My wife's like, oh, you could sell those, and you know, we could put it toward our spring break trip that we're taking, and blah. And I'm like, yeah, but I could also go see a really great college basketball game, even if we're the underdogs. It's still being in a basketball arena like that with all the fans screaming. It's just exhilarating. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there Saturday. It's going to be good. All right, coming up today, let's see what we got here for you. We had a lot of good stuff coming up. Real ID. I remember when this was a huge controversy in Missouri for a while, and I believe we were one of the last states in the country to start moving toward Real ID, and the deadline to get your Real ID driver's license has been extended, I know, a couple of times, and there's still a movement out there to stop a Real ID. And we're going to talk to the co-founder and president of the Citizens. We're going to talk to the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. She's one of the ones pushing to stop this thing. So we will talk to her this morning in the 7 o'clock hour. Tom Ackerman in here a little later in the 6 o'clock hour with a look at, I'm sure, the Missouri Valley Conference. Almost did it again, Carl. And then Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins, and we're going to talk a little Ancient Order of the Hibernians before the day is over. So top of the morning to you. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The behavior of Democrats last night was completely disgraceful and demonstrated how severely out of touch they are with the American public.
Woo! Caroline Leavitt earning her money in the White House press briefing room yesterday, and she was talking about the fact that Democrats sat on their hands for a young child cancer patient. They couldn't even get up and applaud that.
And we don't know everything Elon Musk has done with his high technology ass. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he's being accused of by some, as it may relate to the election.
Yeah, now Mad Max has come out with the allegation that Elon Musk and his high-tech rear end might have been responsible for election interference in the last election.
Donald Trump is an early failure. He has no intention of delivering anything other than retribution. He is a petty tyrant who is surrounded by complicit flunkies.
Woo! Man, you take a little bit of money away from Stacey Abrams and she gets angry, like hangry. Give that woman a Snickers bar.
And then to try to say you care about the safety of the people in St. Louis, where the heck was you when all the crime and stuff was the highest crime we had under the 52 years of state takeover?
Woo, man, Senator Carla May there, she's hot, as my friend Doug Vaughn used to say at Channel 4 years ago. She was going sideways on the Republicans yesterday down in the Senate chambers. They filibustered this bill for local control. Now, it's a pretty big bill, but the key portion of it would take back over control of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department by the state, and it is a move that is long, long, long overdue. I have no idea. Well, I do know. I shouldn't say I have no idea. I do have an idea why Chief Tracy is against this idea, because his boss is against this idea. But I get to kind of get the impression we're going to have some new political leadership in St. Louis soon anyway. I don't know where Kara Spencer stands on
it. She does not support it.
But the minute you allowed the politics of the city to start infiltrating how the police department was run, that's when things started going downhill. And you don't have to take my word for it. Ask any St. Louis Metropolitan police officer you know. Both of the police unions are in favor of state control. Every police officer I know can't wait until they're state control, because they see the impact of letting the local progressive party that controls St. Louis politics dabble in fighting crime. They're not equipped for it.
So I would be inclined to say I absolutely support this, especially when Tashara Jones wants to not support something. It makes me want to go the other direction. And none of the mayoral candidates that I'm aware of, none of them support this bill. They do not think the state should have control. What do you think, Mark, would be the key differences if this were to happen and were to pass in the Senate? Because Kehoe already said he would sign it.
Right. The key difference of state control
versus what we currently have.
It's pretty simple. You don't have the influence of the mayor's office and the board of aldermen controlling how the money is allocated within the department. Like, for example, the city tried to give the officers a raise, but in order to do it, they eliminated open positions in a department where you're already down 400 officers who could be on the street fighting crime. And instead of boosting that and trying to hire more police officers, you put a Band-Aid on the problem. A state police board would avoid that issue. Local politics, although they would still be appointees, Kehoe's going to have the appointments.
Well, so the mayor would be one of the people on the board, but then, yes, so Kehoe would appoint the other four. So I guess it would more or less be a checks and balances system for her.
Exactly,
it lessens her power, or whoever becomes mayor.
Right. And that bill that we all passed at the state level last year that said that after 2020, the end of 2025, I believe, or 2026, one of the two, that you couldn't reduce the budget of your law enforcement. I'm going to have to go back and check the wording of it, but that would then apply to St. Louis. So the Board of Aldermen could not go in and then dabble or try to defund the police. There would be a required minimum amount of the budget that had to go to policing.
Does that mean all the counselors that they hired to go and, you know, work on these crazy situations where it's a standoff, would they potentially lose their job? I assume that policy could be fixed. Good.
I believe. Now that's probably something a decision the Board of Aldermen made. Maybe they're funding that out of a different pot. I don't know. But all I know is that every officer I know is in strong support of state control. All right, let's get to a break. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. We got a lot of other stuff, though, that we need to talk about. More fraud, not just discovered at the national level, but locally in a charity that has wasted millions of dollars that were supposed to be going to feed starving children. We're going to get into that for you. Right after this, Carl, who's got our national anthem today?
The silky, smooth sounds, Mark, of Luther Vandross.
The reality is Donald Trump had a perfectly good night because he articulates issues that the vast majority of the American people are basically in alignment with. And the Democrats had a terrible night because they acted like children, just like Fetterman said. I was interested to see Walz attack Fetterman. The 2028 Democratic primary for president is obviously on. And if that's the best, I don't know who the leader of the Democratic Party is, but I know who runs it. Donald Trump. He runs both parties.
Oh, it's true. The folks on The View went sideways yesterday too. We got sound this morning from Sonny Huston, And there's not a whole lot of sunshine over there, but she's on the impression that more Democrats should have walked out. When little Al Green got up and threw his little tantrum, waving his cane around, every Democrat in there should have gotten up and walked out along with him.
But more Democrats did walk out at some point did, during apparently. The speech. Yeah,
like,
I remember looking at that. No, I know.
They're acting like petulant children is what they're doing. No sense of decorum. I'm glad they're censuring Al Green. He deserves it. They censured one of our congressmen when he yelled something a few years ago, and in the Obama administration. Here's again what Scott Jennings is getting at. The Democrats are on the losing end of all of these issues. People want to know why we have so much waste. Did you see this story yesterday? A local St. Louis nonprofit scammed taxpayers out of more than $7 million.
That's nice.
Allegedly, Diara Williams, executive director of the Bailey Foundation, and her husband, Nicholas Warford, defrauded the two state-administered food programs, lied about the amount of food they purchased through his catering company, used the money to buy a $1.5 million house in Edwardsville, three vehicles worth more than $100,000, and more than $140,000 in vacations, and they sent another $460,000 to Warford's mother. So they're now charged in federal court. The St. Louis FBI has charged them, and they called the alleged fraud beyond despicable. The money was supposed to go to feed low-income children in Missouri, and they used it for themselves. This stuff is everywhere, and the Trump administration is helping lift the veil. And the rats are scurrying, as you can tell. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
As a conservative, it seems just to be getting more and more difficult to have very liberal friends. It is absolutely possible. I have friends who were not uber conservative. I've mentioned to you the one friend I had, very liberal, you know, cut me out of her life because of our differences in you know, our views on different policies and things like that. And I think I'm not alone in that. I know many people have dealt with something similar to that. And that is why people are talking about this scene that just played out in that show called White Lotus that's airing on HBO. Have you heard of that, Mark?
I have. White Lotus. I've never watched it, but I've heard of it for sure.
I think I watched maybe the first season and then I kind of lost interest. Have you been watching it, Carl?
No, but my friends watch it and they say, you would really like this. It's a murder mystery.
It is a murder mystery and it has humor with it. I mean, it's a good show. Just
Jennifer Coolidge was on the first two seasons.
Yeah,
she drives me crazy.
Well, I think they kill her in the second one.
Oh,
Mark,
good. So. Maybe I'll watch it.
Spoiler, if anyone's planning to watch it. Sorry, your girl dies.
Well, we're on season three.
So anyway, there's this scene that the White Lotus writers are actually getting praise for because these Christian conservatives are saying this is just so relatable. If you are a conservative, if you're a Christian conservative and you have liberal friends and maybe you're not that person who's constantly posting on Facebook and telling everyone about your views, you just kind of quietly go about it your day and somehow it comes up, oh yeah, by the way, I'm a conservative. It's like you have to tread lightly about it. So listen to this scene play out in White Lotus.
Yes.
The main actress would be Leslie Bibb.
Yes.
I didn't know you went to church.
Oh yeah. We go every Sunday. Mm. Yeah, ever since we moved to Austin.
Is it like a real Texan church? Like with Bible thumpers and...
Well, the people are, you know, more conservative than like L.A. people or like New York.
Mm-hmm. Is that weird for you?
Why would it be weird?
I don't know. If I was just around a bunch of Texans who voted for Trump, I guess I'd just feel a little alienated.
They're nice people. Really good families.
Cool. But do you ever talk politics with them?
Sometimes.
Doesn't it get awkward?
Why would it?
Because. Wait. Are you a Republican?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm an independent. But Dave is.
An independent?
Mm-hmm.
Since when? You didn't vote for Trump, though, did you?
Are we really going to talk about Trump tonight?
You didn't vote for Trump. Can you imagine if I did the same thing to somebody else and I was like, whoa.
Shock and
you
awe.
You didn't vote for Kamala, did you? No one would ever say that because the people on the right don't typically act like that to the other side. For some reason, no. It seems like it's a one-way street here where you cannot vote for Trump or I can't even be associated with you because you're clearly a bigot and all the other names under the sun.
Yeah, I have been unfriended by distant family members and high school classmates and former co-workers and just all because they cannot stand to be in the same room with you if they think you voted for Donald Trump. That's how affected they are mentally. It's strange for me because I grew up in a family where we had open discussions about politics. My grandfather was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. He was a union man. He hated Richard Nixon. He loved FDR. We went at it every Sunday in my household after dinner. But we all loved each other, and it didn't matter. I mean, you're able to have a difference of opinion on these things, not for the left. That's what we describe as Trump derangement syndrome. Mm-hmm. They've reached the point where they don't want to associate with you if you disagree with them on politics. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy to me. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. What is refreshing about this, and this is, again, just me reading an article and me not watching the show actually myself right now, but this character, Leslie Bibb, who's the secret Christian conservative, her character, at least so far, is not portrayed as this crazy, evil conservative, because that's what we often see in Hollywood. You have somebody who's a Christian, and they're the tightwad, and they're so judgmental and all these things, and you can just tell that the writers have an agenda and that they want to portray that particular character in a certain light to send a message about how they really feel about those people. So this is refreshing, and it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
If she gets killed,
or maybe she kills somebody else because she's an evil Christian conservative, all the things that you would typically see play out in Hollywood.
And it's set in Austin, Texas?
No. They're in Thailand, I believe.
Oh, I thought it
because
said
the
Austin.
White Lotus is a series of hotels around the world.
Oh, okay. But I thought she said she was in Austin.
She lives in Austin. These girls meet up every year.
Okay. All right.
So Scott on Facebook is saying, I think the reason it's difficult for Republicans and Democrats to get along is because conservative media encourages mockery and name-calling. You know, I would disagree with that because think about our own vice president and then later candidate for president calling Trump, comparing him to Hitler.
Hitler and all that. Where do you get that?
I mean, Joe Scott. Biden went on camera and was saying that Trump supporters were trash. And so I admit that there is some of that on the right. You're not wrong in the sense that that does happen. But people are in la-la land if you think that's not happening a lot on the left.
So last week, I went on the Dave Glover show, right? And Dave invited me on and in the course of our conversation admitted that, you know, he's known me for years. I've always been a conservative. He's always been a libertarian or whatever. And he said, but you know, the thing about it is we've always been friends. We've never let that's never impacted our relationship. Why can't people be more like that? And I lamented the fact, just like we are this morning, that we can't be more like that. And I don't know how that ever gets fixed again. And it won't with some folks. So what happens to me? I get this email from a guy who was listening to Glover. His name is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Gary emails me and says, I heard you bemoaning the state of relationships between people of different political views. You said you don't know when it'll ever go back to the way it was before. I know exactly when it'll go back to the way it was before. I'm a political, a realist, a pragmatist. It'll be when zealots and ideologues, basically suggesting like me, bring back something that used to be known as intellectual honesty. And then he goes on to attack Trump. It's a trait that Trumpers lack completely. They're unwilling or unable to ever admit when he's wrong. He's a megalomaniac, dishonest narcissist who puts himself before all others in this country. And he just goes on and on and on. And then accuses me of not being willing to tell the truth.
This guy needs to get off his high horse.
Well, thank you. That's why they... they can't stand somebody to have a different opinion than them. Mm-hmm. They just can't stand it. As evidenced by Al Green the other night and all these idiots sitting on their hands instead of standing up and acknowledging the heroes that were in the audience, including that little mm-hmm. boy who's dying of brain cancer. They couldn't even put their hatred aside mm-hmm. to honor him because he was connected to Orange Man Bad.
It's funny you say that. Rocky just said that on Facebook. Democrats won't applaud a kid cancer survivor, but they would applaud if he turned into a girl. That's so true.
That's a good
it's
point.
It's so true. If the same boy, if they said, well, and we're going to fund his transition into a girl.
They would all stood up and chat.
You go. Yep, you're right. And it's so twisted and backwards. And it's just a sad state that we're at right now where people can't be friends. I mean, look, in any family and any friendship that's been in place for many, many years, chances are you've probably said and done things that are hurtful. But the whole idea is, can you move past that? Can you see that the love that you have for one another goes deeper than that stupid insult that your pride was hurt when someone said something to you? We've all had our pride
tough.
Hurt. And it's hard.
It
is hard. But, like, let's forgive. It's just silly. I understand there are some deeper things, and I'm not saying that there are not times when you need to distance yourself from someone. Like, I get that, okay? I'm not blanket statement saying this, but there are so many dumb, petty things where friendships are lost, families are torn apart, they're estranged from one another. And when you actually dig deeper and you figure out what caused that riff, it's the silliest thing.
Well, I'd love to know, I didn't engage with Gary, but I'd love to know, just personally, if he can, considering himself the realist pragmatist that he is here, according to this, I wonder if he voted for Kamala Harris. Could you be a realist and a pragmatist and listen to that woman speak and turn around and go pull a lever for her? You could if your intellectual dishonesty is large enough, and that is that you're only doing it because you hate Trump. You're, mm-hmm. At that point, you're not being honest with yourself as to why you voted. I didn't vote for Trump because I hated Kamala Harris. I was scared to death of Kamala Harris becoming president because she's an empty suit. But beyond that, she had no policies. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Nothing she was offering the American people beyond, just word salad. I don't know how you could ever have voted for that.
Did you respond
Why
to
not?
Gary?
I have not yet. I thought about doing something, but I knew that if I did it, it would come off as smart ass, and I decided that I should probably just leave it alone. I'm sure I triggered
good restraint, Mark.
I'm sure I triggered a lot of liberals when I was on Glover's show. Because he asked my opinion, and that's what I'm here for.
Well, and that's it. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what, this is not worth it to respond. Or, at the very least, give it 24 hours, sleep on it, type up what you think you might want to say, do not send it, go back the next day, and chances are, the vast majority of that, you won't feel is necessary anymore to send.
I know. So that's why I got this on March 1st. It's now March 6th. I have not responded yet. I wanted to give myself time to step back and and decide if I was going to respond to this guy or not.
Technically, you just did.
Well, he's not listening to me. He listens to the Glover Show.
Sometimes when you respond to somebody, it feels good because you kind of have that one liner you get to say back to them, you know? Yeah. But they're just wanting to stir the pot with you. And so when they rile you up, it's giving them the power. So sometimes I look at it that way of, look, I would love to say something back to you, but
like, enjoy
ultimately,
the winning.
Ultimately, that's what you want, is to get me angry and upset, and I'm not going to give you that.
Yep. You have to have thick skin when you do this for a living. There's no doubt about that at all. All right. When we come back, we are going to talk just a little bit more about what happened yesterday down in Jefferson City and this whole debate over the local control, and you need to listen to some of what was said yesterday on the floor. I don't know what they're going to do. If the Republicans had then any intestinal fortitude, they'd just call the previous question and vote on it. They have a supermajority. But they won't do that, I don't think. We'll see what happens. This is an important issue. But if you look at the calendar, we're still 2 months from the end of the session. And they would probably be afraid that it would screw up everything else if they did that right now. And I don't know how that damages the possibility of state control. So we'll talk about all that and more when we come back. So the Democrats have threatened to, of course, filibuster this idea of getting a vote finally on moving the SLMPD back into state control. They made that very clear yesterday. And, you know, there are lots of things that would possibly get blocked in the last couple of months if they decide to filibuster every single thing. There's a hesitation on the part of Republicans in this state, and I just don't understand it. They have a super majority. The Democrats never hesitate to do that in the state of Illinois. And maybe we shouldn't act like Democrats all the time. I get that. But when they have power in Springfield, Illinois, or they have power in Washington, D.C., they institute and implement their agenda. Republicans are reticent to do that, and I don't know why. I've had lots of conversations with them, and I don't know why. What it gets back to is, generally speaking, as a general rule, the people that end up in the leadership positions in the Missouri House and Senate tend to be very moderate. And I'm not quite sure how that happens in a state that is as red as they get. Generally speaking, every statewide office holder is a Republican. The governor's a Republican, supermajority in the legislature. Donald Trump wins the state by 20 points. It's amazing to me that this happens. But here we go. So when you have a threat of a filibuster in the Senate, all you have to do is go to the previous question. And then that stops the filibuster and you can take a vote. And I don't know why they won't do that. On things like this, on the abortion ban, that has apparently advanced to a hearing out of committee, so that's a good thing. But right now, I was just checking here a minute ago, the Missouri Senate stands adjourned, so whatever the filibuster was, they must have laid the bill over or something in order for the Senate to go out of session overnight. Carl, go ahead and play cut number 17 for the people, please.
Democrats in the Missouri Senate are filibustering tonight to protest a wide-ranging public safety bill.
And that includes giving control of the St. Louis City Police Department to a governor-appointed board. Our cameras were there today when things started to get heated. Take a listen to what one of the senators from St. Louis had to say late this afternoon.
And then to try to say you care about the safety of the people in St. Louis, where the heck was you when 150 years of corruption under the board that was in place before? Where the heck was you when all the crime and stuff was the highest crime we had under the 52 years of state takeover? You wasn't crying out then when the board and the police chief and everybody else was corrupt back then. Where were you? So stop. The hypocrisy is real. Just stop.
Staffers expect a lengthy filibuster tonight, with the session likely extending into the overnight hours. Yep. Democrat senators we spoke with wouldn't comment on their specific strategy, but they remain steadfast in their belief that the city funds the entire department, so they should be the ones running its own police department.
Maybe if they did a better job, their own police officers would agree with that, but their own police officers don't. If you don't believe me, ask one if you know one. We're going to be back in just a minute. We'll check in with Tom Ackerman. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.